Welcome to Multifamily AP 360, the show where we discuss 360-degree views on mindset, passive, and active multifamily investment. If you're looking for tips and strategies, or just want to learn from the experiences of others, both good and bad, then listen on. This is Multifamily AP 360 with your host, Ramakrishna Chinchu.
Welcome back to another episode of Multifamily AP 360. And today's guest is Marv McGuire from Artsil Capital Partners. Welcome, Marv.
Hey, good morning. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good morning. And a little bit about Marv. Marv and Victoria founded Artsil Capital Partners to help people multiply their financial freedom and build legacy-changing wealth by passively investing in high-value multifamily real estate opportunities. He prides himself on his ability to develop meaningful, long-term relationships by helping others achieve their goals. So with that, Marv, you want to add anything to your background?
No, great. Thank you so much. I'm also I served in the Navy, United States Navy, for 25 years, a three-time brain cancer survivor, been married for 30 years to the same woman and have four wonderful children. So I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So what makes you to jump into multifamily space? Why?
Well, my wife's been a residential real estate agent for about the last 18 to 20 years. So we've always kind of understood the value of real estate and how it can help you build wealth and help with taxes and all kinds of different things. And at one point in our marriage, we had about six single family homes, as many people do. You know, you discovered that it only takes one problem to really wipe that out. We had a roof that needed to be replaced. We had some air conditioners that needed to be replaced. We had a leak underneath the foundation of one of our units. And it doesn't take many of those type of problems to wipe out all of your cash flow from your single family portfolio. And so we really wanted to look at something at scale because we understood the value of real estate. So that's when we jumped into multifamily.
Sure. How did you get into multifamily?
We took a course. You know, I like to follow Grant Cardone. A lot of people don't like Grant Cardone, but I think he's got such a huge personality and he's obviously been very successful. So my wife and I took one of his real low level courses just to figure out, hey, is this for us and can we do it? And once we took that course, we were like, hey, we can do this. So then we joined a mastermind group mainly for the education and the network, and that really set us on the right course because we were able to get around people doing it, get around people that are 2, 3, 4, 10 years ahead of us, and then get some coaching and some mentoring and accelerated our progress.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. That's a good way to start. So in multifamily space, what kind of multifamily deals you're working on? What kind of flow you're performing?
Well, we live in Tampa, and so we pursue deals in Florida where we live, you know, north of Tampa, in Georgia where my wife is from, South Carolina where I spent a ton of time in the Navy, and then I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth region. So we look at deals in those markets. We typically look at Class B value add apartment complexes, 50 units to 200 units, and then we've kind of opened our aperture to Class C units, as long as they're in a Class B location. We did about 500 units last year in Georgia and South Carolina. All of those deals right now are really, two of them are still in the stabilization process. We're doing renovations and redoing some roofs. Two of those have just come out of stabilization and we paid our first distributions a couple months early. We're really excited about prospects of all four of those deals.
Sure. And what kind of role are you performing in these deals?
I'm a capital raiser. My wife's also an underwriter, but right now I'm focused strictly on trying to raise capital for all these deals.
Sure. Got it. Thank you. So as a capital raiser, so what kind of due diligence you would perform on sponsors and markets or property level?
For sure. For sponsors, I think for a capital raiser is probably the most important due diligence that you really have to do, simply because, you know, obviously you're going to invest, you're asking your network to invest with you, but you're obviously using the credibility and the operational excellence of your lead sponsor partners. So it's critical that you do that due diligence from in-person meetings. You know, a lot of people just say, hey, I've talked to that person a couple of times. I think it's important to have in-person meetings with any lead sponsors. I think it's really, you should go through their track record and really look at deep dive into their track record to include, look at some of their previous underwriting and their underwriting assumptions. And for capital raisers specifically, and this is lead sponsor specific and deal generally specific, I think it's incredibly important for any capital raiser to know your deal, know the underwriting drop dead cold. I mean, a lot of capital raisers just dive into raising capital and they really don't know their deal. So it's just imperative that capital raisers know their deal. And a lot of lead sponsors will use different underwriting models than you use. So you need to really understand what you're getting yourself into. I haven't done it yet, a background check on lead sponsors, but you know, I think that's probably a lot of instances, maybe a good idea. And then get references from other capital raisers, other sponsors that deal with brokers, get some references on your lead sponsors.
Yeah, very good points. Thank you very much. So what are your top three criteria for picking a sponsor? You mentioned some of the points, but what are your top three points for picking a good sponsor?
For me, it's values. you know, I want the lead sponsors to have values. And I think that's the reason I really hit on it, Rama, is, hey, you've got to meet with them. You've got to do some due diligence. So you know that they have values of integrity. They want to be good stewards of people's money. They're going to be accessible and transparent, honest. I think, you know, so the lead sponsor's values would be one of those, probably the top one. The second one would be their underwriting assumptions. Underwrite their deals conservatively. Are they, you know, not speculating on what the returns could be? Or they're not like, hey, I think I could push the rents to this. They're not forcing the deal. So they're really adhering to conservative underwriting principles. And then their track record, really. Have they gone full cycle? How many deals have they done? What their experience level is. Those would be my top.
Yeah, very good points. Thank you very much for sharing that. Yeah, values are very, very crucial. Yeah, thank you for sharing that also. So from investors' point of view, what is your process getting into investors and how do you build that credibility with the investors?
We get our investors from a variety of different methods. I mean, my wife and I co-host a meetup in Clearwater, Florida, which helps bring in new people and provide an avenue to attract investors from our local market. We are very, very active on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook. We haven't ventured into TikTok or Instagram, but we really focus on LinkedIn and Facebook. And then just kind of word of mouth, a thing that really has been effective for me is, you know, as you're in a raise, unashamedly ask for referrals. I'm always asking for referrals. And that is really surprisingly very effective because, you know, if you get somebody who's really interested in it and understands the business model, then they're going to naturally refer somebody who is also probably going to get the business model and probably going to be very interested because what they say, birds of a feather flock together. So I think asking for referrals is kind of an underrated way to get new investors. So that those are kind of the three primary methods that we get new investors. And then once we get somebody into our CRM, we have a 10 email, which I know is a lot, 10 email drip campaign that goes out to educate those investors. And then once they're through that 10 email drip campaign, which really takes about a month and a half, we do a personal newsletter at the end of every month. And then in the middle of the month, we do kind of a personal update, you know, more of a fun, here's what we're up to. And hey, my daughter's graduating from college, and just more of a get to know us. And because I think if people are going to invest money in your deals, they're really investing in you, you know, so they want to know who you are and what kind of person you are. And I think it helps build that trust.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Very good points. So what kind of CRM system are you guys using right now?
We use ActiveCampaign, and we've been really, really happy with ActiveCampaign with the automations. And it's probably less of a CRM than a lot of the other ones, but it has a little bit of a CRM function. But we use it obviously more for just marketing and automation.
Got it. Sure. So how do you structure these deals with your investors?
Our deals are all structured right now at a 70-30 split for 70% limited partners, 30% for GPs. We have almost always we have a 8% preferred return. And from the Hartzell Capital Partners perspective, my company's perspective, we always target at least a 7% cash on cash, at least a 15% IIR, and at least a 1.75 equity multiple. So if we don't achieve those key performance metrics, we won't bring the deal to our investors.
Sure. So 1.75 multiple in 5 years?
5 years. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And what challenges do you have faced in capitalizing side? And how did you overcome them?
The challenges that I've faced most frequently is you have a webinar. You know, we always conduct a webinar at the beginning of our capital raises, and you get a lot of people that are super interested. And then when you follow up with them, they're like, well, you know, I'm a little cash poor right now, or I don't have any money. You get a lot of no's. And so you can't take those no's personal. But also, even the people that are very interested and say yes, typically you really have to shepherd those people across the finish line. So, you know, they want to walk through the private placement memorandum and tamp down their fears. And then even when you get them through that, you know, getting to the point where they're supposed to wire their money, you just really got to try to ease them over the finish line, you know? So it's a process. My wife would tell you that during an active capital raise, I'm probably on the phone 5 or 6 hours a day with investors, really trying to talk through the deal. I've went through sale by sale, our underwriting with investors. I have walked page by page through the due diligence report with investors. So every investor is very, very different. So you just have to kind of meet them right where they are.
Sure. Share me any best capitalizing experiences.
Last December, we had a deal in Charleston, South Carolina. And it was a great deal in a great market. It was bought off. Same family had owned it for 40 years, and they had been more focused on keeping it full than really keeping up with market rents. We got it off market at a great price, and there was just a ton of room in rents. So we were able to build a lot of momentum. And that's a best practice that I'm going to try to implement on all our raises going forward, is to try to really create that anticipation with your investors. Oh, we've got a deal coming. This thing is going to be a deal. And maybe send 2 or 3 emails before the deal even comes out, you know, kind of teasers. Because when the deal actually came out, we raised $10 million in a week. And I think it was just because we created that, here it comes, it's going to be great. And whenever it came out, it was just bam.
Awesome, good. Thank you for sharing that. Would you also share any challenging experience?
Just getting started, really. Oh man, we haven't really been, I think Victoria, my wife and I have been raising capital for close to a year and a half, maybe 14 or 15 months now. And just breaking in, proving yourself. You always think you can raise a bunch of money because, hey, I've got this great network. I know a bunch of doctors, or hey, I've got a bunch of high net worth people that I know I can easily raise $1 million. It's not as easy, you know, for your audience. They know, you know, it's not as easy as you think it's going to be. Breaking into those with operators, you know, I called all these operators, these very successful people, and said, hey, I think I can raise $1 million. Put me in. Can I join your team? And I got a ton of no's. Hey, you're just starting out. You're brand new. Raising money is a lot harder than you think it's going to be. Just got to stick with it. So once I got somebody to put me on the team, you know, I was able to raise $2 million in my first raise. And if you can hit your target and even exceed your target, even by a little bit, you know, you'll start getting calls back, and then you gain some momentum. But breaking in is always difficult.
Thank you for sharing that. So how do you communicate with your investors throughout the capitalizing process and investment lifecycle?
Oh, goodness. I probably over-communicate. So, I mean, talked about our drip campaign and our monthly communications. And then when we get a, like I said, we've got a deal coming out here in a couple of weeks. We've already started to try to do that. It's coming. And then once it's actually, you know, active, we'll have a webinar. We'll send out an email. And what we found to be really effective that we started a webinar or let me know, just said, hey, if you're interested in this deal, just respond to this email with the word IN. It takes away a lot of the friction. They don't have to go to the portal. They don't have to register for anything. But you immediately know, hey, this person's interested. So we do that, and then we'll immediately start calling those people quickly. Hey, you know, within 8 or 12 hours. Hey, thanks for responding. See, you're interested, and really kind of lock down that core group with what they're interested in investing. And then the folks that attend the webinar, we'll immediately contact them. And then basically, what I do is I'll text every one of our people in our CRM and say, hey, did you see the deal alert? The webinar? Time for a call. And if I don't, you know, a lot of those will come back and say, yeah, I was just busy. I was on travel. I couldn't get to the webinar. So I'll set up calls with them. And then the people that don't respond at all, I'll just call. And then as we talked about, you know, then it's just about shepherding those folks that you really identify have money and are interested. And then once the deal closes, communicate every month with an extensive investor communication with financials and everything like that on a monthly basis.
Thank you for sharing that. Good process. So how do you adapt capitalizing strategies to changing market conditions in the multifamily sector?
That's a great question. I mean, I think you have to, a lot of times with investors, it's a lot about fear. There's been so much fear over interest rates recently. Folks that, you know, we've got several investors that were investing with other groups, you know, in 17 and 18 and even 19, when it was really easy to make a ton of money. Oh, the equity multiple is a 3X and, you know, I'm going to be making a 35% IRR. And so recalibrating expectations, I think the way to go into it is really make sure that you set expectations right from the get-go. You know, like, hey, this is illiquid, that you're not going to get rich. This is an alternative. It's called an alternative investment for a reason, because you're trying to diversify your portfolio. So I think, you know, educating your investors, new and old, is very, very critical just from the very start.
Thank you. But any habits are helping you to be successful, Mark?
I try to exercise every day. I try to read every day. You know, I'm a strong faith, so I pray. A lot of people meditate. But I take those three aspects of my life very, very serious. And I think they help, you know, they help me stay grateful. You can't be successful if you're not healthy and you don't feel good. And I think, you know, reading, you never know what you're just, if you're continuously learning by reading, it just sharpens you. So I think those three habits have been very important to me. And I think they've really helped me be successful.
Awesome. Thank you. So any recent learning that helped you to be more successful or more creative, more impact?
I read a book lately called The Obstacle is the Key by Ryan Holiday that really, really kind of gave me a new perspective on not only capital raising, but kind of the multifamily investing and just other aspects of my life. Is like, you see a problem and so many times you try to go around that problem. How do I avoid that problem? And in his book, The Obstacle is the Way, I mean, it's like, hey, you just face that problem head on. And so many times if you work diligently to tackle that problem directly, you know, that will be the way that'll create your path to success. So don't avoid difficult things. Just face them head on and you'll be surprised at how many times things open up. For example, you know, a lot of capital raisers, me included, you know, you need to be calling your investors even when you don't have a deal, you know, just checking in on them. And sometimes that seems very awkward, you know, hey, Joe, I mean, I don't have a deal, but, you know, just want to check on you. So a lot of people avoid doing it. But a lot of times when I've done it here recently, people are like, oh man, I just sold a house. I've got $300,000 that I need to, and you wouldn't have known that unless you made that call. So it's just given me a new perspective on how to go about capital raising.
Thank you again for sharing that. So how can listeners can connect with you more?
Sure. The best way is via our website, you know, hartzellcapitalpartners.com. And it's Hartzell like your heart, and S-I-L-L, hartzellcapitalpartners.com is the best way. And then I'm also very active on LinkedIn, like I said, and Facebook. So those are the best ways.
Awesome. And thank you very much, Mark. And thank you for sharing your capitalizing due diligence process and also best and challenging experiences and also your personal habits and book that impacted. And thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ram. I really appreciate being here.
Sure.
That's the end of this episode of Multifamily AP 360, but we'd love to continue to help you on your journey. Head to ushacapital.com/podcast to join our email list for more tips and strategies. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This is Multifamily AP 360 with Ramakrishna Chunchu. We'll see you next time.